Hello, and welcome to the Business Decisions Podcast. My name is Stuart Wood. I'm the CEO of Caravel Law and your host for this podcast. Today on the podcast, we have a special episode as one of our lawyers, Dan Black, was recently featured as part of a webinar hosted by our client, Medical Confidence, on the subject of returning to work following the COVID-19 situation. We thought our podcast audience would benefit from this content as well, and Medical Confidence was kind enough to allow us to share it with you here. The full webinar is also available on their website, medicalconfidence.com, if you would like to see the slides as well. Special thanks to Angela Johnson and the team from Medical Confidence for allowing us to share this with you. Here is the webinar hosted by Angela and featuring our lawyer, Dan Black, an employment lawyer here at Caravel Law.
So thank you everyone for joining. I'd personally like to thank you all for participating in our first seminar of our webinar series. We all know how valuable your time is right now as you're all trying to ready yourselves for opening your workplaces again for your employees and for your customers. So thank you. I will first start off with introducing myself. I'm Angela Johnson, founder of Medical Confidence and president, and I'll be your host for the next 30 minutes. For years, Medical Confidence has been helping Canadians navigate the public healthcare system. And doing that, we basically help them recover faster by reducing their wait times to access care. In turn, the employer sees reduced absence and disability costs. With the shutdown of many public healthcare services over the past months, we know that our self-navigation application called MyHealthMap will be incredibly helpful for those Canadian employees needing healthcare services over the coming months and years. Taking that deep knowledge of public healthcare, we launched a new capability with MyHealthMap, and that is to help organizations comply with the new reopening regulations and do their part in preventing the transmission of COVID-19. But at the same time, it also empowers employees to maintain a safe workplace for everyone. And Jillian is going to take you through a quick demo of that. But before we do, I'd like to introduce you to Dan Black. So never has there been a time like this before where employers and employees jointly have such a critical impact on outside health issues in the workplace. And so this is why we felt that having Dan as our first guest speaker of our webinar series would be of tremendous value for you. Dan's an expert in labor and employment law with particular expertise in health and safety. And he will share with you how the new employer legal and health and safety requirements that they need to adhere to for COVID-19. But before I hand it over to Dan, I just want to set aside a couple of housekeeping items. We planned to have some time to answer your questions, so please do enter them in the Q&A section. It'll be in the bottom middle of your screen. Just click that button and enter them throughout the webinar so we can capture them for you. And then if you're having any technical difficulties, to the right of that button is a Q&A button or chat function that you can pose a question and someone will come to your aid if you're having any technical challenges. So, with further ado, over to you, Dan.
Thanks, Angela. I just as you said, technical difficulties, I started having some, but I think I'm back now. So thanks. When it comes to reopening your business or your workplace or your office, as the case may be, within a pandemic context, there's an overwhelming amount of information available. There are legal requirements, there are public health requirements, there are municipal requirements, there's industry best practices, other types of best practices, and there's a ton of guidance out there on the internet as well from lawyers and others. What we want to focus on in this seminar is how you can limit the risks that your business faces from an occupational health and safety and to some extent a connected privacy law perspective. So as an employer, you have an obligation to provide a safe workplace to your employees and to others who come into your workplace, so delivery people, visitors, customers, clients, etc. And when we talk about COVID-19, the ideal safe workplace is a workplace in which infection communication is prevented. So when there are no infections in the workplace, when COVID-19 doesn't enter your workplace, there won't be communication of COVID-19 within the workplace, from one employee to another, from employees to customers, and vice versa, etc. And so again, the goal is to create a safe workplace for your employees, to protect them against COVID-19, for your customers, for other visitors, etc. Now, obviously, it may not be possible to prevent COVID-19 from entering your workplace entirely. And so if that happens, there are ways that you can still mitigate your risk. If you become aware that an infection has entered in the place of an employee or a visitor or et cetera, or a customer, you have obligations to report that. So for example, we've all seen examples already where grocery stores have said one of our employees has tested positive, this is what we're doing. Grocery stores, of course, haven't been recording who comes into their workplaces, into their places of business, and so they aren't able to contact customers specifically. But as the workplace and businesses continue to open, we're beginning to see that. Last week, I was able to get my hair cut, and I was able to go see a physiotherapist after more than 3 months. And at both cases, before they would let me enter the building, I had to fill out a questionnaire that asked me a variety of questions, screening questions. So, you know, do you have a fever? Do you have a new or worsening cough? Have you been out of the country? Have you been exposed to anybody who's tested positive, etc.? And so we're already seeing that. And the same sort of approach takes place or should be taking place in workplaces. As I said, if you become aware that an infection has entered the workplace, you want to be able to report that appropriately to public health authorities and to people in your workplace who may have been exposed. You also want to be able to demonstrate that you used appropriate due diligence to prevent that from happening. In other words, yes, the infection came into our workplace, but we took appropriate steps that were reasonable in the circumstances to prevent that from happening. And so that really takes us to the occupational health and safety side of things. Even if there isn't a new and specific occupational health and safety law related regulation or requirement that says thou shalt screen your employees, the legislation both in Ontario and across Canada includes a sort of a catch-all provision that you're required to take every precaution reasonable in the circumstances for the protection of a worker. And so if you're being scrutinized, if your conduct is being scrutinized in relation to a workplace-related infection, the question is going to be asked, well, what precautions could you have taken? And as I said, with all of the overwhelming information out there, almost everything you look at talks about screening of employees. So I don't think there's any question that whether or not it's a specific legal requirement, screening of employees is going to be a mandatory requirement. And so that brings us to what we're talking about with medical confidence. How do you go about screening your employees? Well, obviously, if your employees get in their cars or get on the bus and come to work and show up and they're there at the front entrance of your work, much like a customer would do, and only then are you screening them, well, they've gone to the trouble and the difficulty of getting to work. They've exposed themselves potentially if they took public transit while they're on their way to work. Now they're at the front door, and you're testing them, taking their temperature, asking them various screening questions, and you feel they don't pass the screening, you've got to turn them away. And so that seems like a completely unnecessary addition of exposure, both to the employees who are traveling to work and the employees who are there conducting the screening. And so why not find a mechanism that allows you to screen your employees at home before they show up? And so that's what we're going to look at in just a few moments, a demonstration of an app that allows you to conduct employee screening from their own homes so that if the screening fails, so to speak, they never come into the workplace. And the benefits of that go beyond just keeping employees who may be infected from coming into the workplace and potentially infecting others. You've got a record kept of that, the screening results. And so let's say, for example, on June 30th, someone says, I contracted COVID-19 on June 30th. I believe that it was contracted in your workplace. I'm a customer and I came in there. I'm an employee and I came in there. I think I got it there. What you want to be able to do is pull up records and say, well, you know, the primary mechanism by which, one of the primary mechanisms by which COVID might have come into our workplace was through our employees. Here we have 2 weeks worth of records that show each and every employee completed a screening questionnaire each and every workday, and only those employees who passed the screening were allowed to come into the workplace. And so that's one aspect of our due diligence steps to prevent infection entering the workplace and therefore being communicated within the workplace. the other advantage of having this done with an app is that you don't have a pile of paperwork. And so employees, again, aren't showing up at the front door of the workplace, filling out paper questionnaires. You know, that might be something you have to do with customers, but why do it with employees if you don't have to? Then you don't have to manage that paperwork, and there's less concerns about privacy issues. Every employer knows that when you deal with employees from time to time, you end up dealing with personal health information. For example, when an employee says, I have a disability, I need accommodation. You know, that personal health information has to be managed and handled very carefully to avoid inappropriate or unintended disclosure. And so having the screening results kept confidential through this app, but still available to you if and when you need them, when public health comes to say, have you been doing what you should be doing? When a worker says, I don't feel so safe coming into the workplace because I don't think you're taking appropriate steps to protect me when I'm here. When somebody says, I think it's your fault I contracted COVID-19 at your workplace. Again, those records are available with protection against personal health information being disclosed. So I think I'll leave it there and move on to the next stage of the presentation. And as Angela said at the outset, we'll come back at the end for questions and answers.
So if you've thought about questions that you have for Dan, please populate them into the Q&A box, and then we'll make sure we get to those, because it'll probably be, you know, prioritization of how they come in. So please bring your questions forward now if you have some. So we'll just move forward with the demo. So Jillian is going to share a quick overview of the tool from the employee side as well as from the employer side.
Okay, thank you, Angela, and thank you, Dan, for that. Can I just confirm that everyone can actually see the My Health Map screen on the display right now? Angela, are you able to see it?
Perfect. I'm able to see it, yeah.
Excellent. Okay, great. So I'm going to walk you through the employee version of the My Health Map tool right now. You'll see that it's very user-friendly and easy to navigate. What you will also see as I work through this is that the 8 questions that make up this survey are the standard recommended screening questions used by both federal and provincial governments, as well as the Center for Disease Control and the World Health Organization. So those of you who are a little familiar with the screening tools on the market, some of these questions will look familiar. So as we work through the app, and I'm going to accept it this time, once again, we'll see that there are different options for the answers. And you'll also note that there are sections available within the questions that offer suggestions and offer help for the employees. Now, what's important to make note of here, and what makes this tool so unique, is that it is able to customize the content based on the geographic location of the employee, as well as what the current recommendations of that region are. So, for example, this tool is able to know and recognize that I am a resident of Ontario, and so it is automatically linking me to the Ontario government's website to provide the most up-to-date and current information. Another important feature is that the wording and content of some of the questions will also adjust to reflect the phase that each region is currently in terms of its reopening. So, for example, if you live in Ontario, you may be in a different phase of reopening than if you're in a certain region of BC. And again, this app will be able to intuitively know that and customize the content of the questions and the links to that. So this not only makes this extremely relevant and customizable, but it makes it very current and up to date. So we're going to continue on with our questioning. And now I am going to pretend that I'm not feeling very well today. And I am going to demonstrate what happens if someone is perhaps not safe to return to work. So let's say today I'm not feeling very well, I have a fever, and I have a cough. Okay, and in addition to that, I'm not feeling very well, I'm a bit tired, I have some aches and pains, maybe a bit of nausea and vomiting. And so based on the answers that the employee gives, as well as the geographic location, the tool is going to determine whether this employee is safe to return to work or not. And not only is it going to tell me that I need to self-isolate and be assessed for testing, it's going to base this on the recommendations made by my region. Again, being Ontario for me, and it will provide a date as to when the assessment was completed and how long this assessment is valid for, which is another amazing feature of this app, is that now that I know I'm not able to go to work and I need to be tested and stay at home, it doesn't leave me high and dry. It gives me the added feature of telling me where I can go to get tested. And so while it's loading right now, you'll see that based again on my geographic location, the app is intuitively telling me where I can go in my region to get tested. So once again, empowering the employee by providing them information and providing them with the necessary tools to take care of themselves and to keep their fellow coworkers safe. So that is the employee version of the tool. I am now going to share the employer version, the employer admin area of the map. And this is really the centerpiece of what we're offering, because with this tool, we're able to share that collected data in real time and present it in a way that is going to allow employers to map out their scheduling needs in the future. As well, it enables them to ensure that they are being compliant with all the government mandated regulations that Dan talked about earlier. And it also offers documentation for any future auditing or questioning that may occur as a result of COVID. And so again, a really easy to navigate site, which represents the data on a daily basis. So again, hovering over the various fields, we can see that 130 employees marked themselves as being safe to go to work based on the survey that they just took. And again, we can also project over a week or 14 days if you want to see the patterns. In addition, employers are able to look for individual employees to see what their status is, and they're able to sort which area they would like to look. So for example, if they wanted to see who needs to stay home, they can enter that as well and see. Now, it's also important to note here that what you're seeing today is the current basic view that's available, but we are able to customize the content based on your specific needs and requirements as well. So again, a tool that is empowering both employee and employer by providing them with the most accurate, up-to-date, real-time information based on the individual's symptoms as well as what regional mandates and guidelines are suggesting at that time.
Okay, thank you, Jillian. So I think there's a couple other things I'd just like to highlight as well, and that is that there's an export function. So the employer can export the data into an Excel or a CSV file as well, if they want to do that. And then two, there was a print function on the badge that would print just the option. And maybe Jillian, you could show that before you close it. Could you go back to
yes, that? Absolutely.
And you can scroll up to the print. And so when she clicks print, it would actually give you, you can save it as a PDF, but it only gives you the badge. So this is one of the questions that we received was about the privacy and how are you maintaining the privacy of the employee and what are you doing with the health information that's hidden and buried in those questions that they're answering. So I'll just answer that question quickly. So because the print is only giving you the badge and telling you what is, whether they should self-isolate or whether they need to stay home or whether they need to, or they could actually enter the workplace, that's all the information that the employer receives. All the personal health related answers are maintained in medical competences databases. We have met many of the major insurers' security assessment requirements. We do that each year. So we've been dealing with personal health information for 11 years now. So we adhere to very strict policies and certifications with data encryption and whatnot. So that's maintained on our end, and the employer only sees just the results of the survey of what they actually, or the assessment of what they need to be able to run their business effectively and meet their responsibilities of ensuring they're not doing unnecessary risks within the workplace. Okay, so why don't we move on to some of these fabulous questions. Maya, there's been great response, so thank you. So the first question is for Dan. So it's not a breach of privacy to ask an employee if they tested positive for COVID-19. That's the question. Should you be asking them for a COVID negative test if they were previously off with COVID symptoms? Dan, do you think you can answer that one for us?
Sure. So the first question is it a breach of privacy to ask an employee if they tested positive for COVID? It's not a breach of privacy to ask the employee or for the employee to give you an answer. What might constitute a breach of privacy is what you do with the information that you get. So, for example, if an employee says, yes, I tested positive, and you just go off and tell everyone in the workplace that Dan Black tested positive, that could be a breach of my personal health information. So, it's, as I say, it's what you do with the information that you receive that matters. And for example, what you might do is if you're following appropriate social distancing within the workplace and Dan Black tests positive, your assessment might reasonably be that, well, we don't need to notify anyone else that Dan Black tested positive because he kept an appropriate distance from everyone else in the workplace, and therefore it's reasonable to assume that no one else was infected by it. Or we might say, well, we know that Dan worked closely with employees A, B, and C, and so we'll let them know. But do we have to say that it was Dan? They may be able to figure it out if the three of them are still at work and Dan is gone, but again, you're taking steps to do your best to protect Dan's personal health information while also complying with your obligation to alert employees to hazards in the workplace. Should you be asking for a COVID negative test? Well, with the increased availability of testing, I think it's becoming increasingly reasonable to ask for a negative test before you allow an employee to return to the workplace. But again, there's no clear you must do this, you can't do that guidance in the law so far. And so, for example, if the employee had symptoms, self-isolated for 14 days, and you're satisfied that they did that appropriately and properly, you wouldn't necessarily have to have a negative test. But again, as part of your obligations to protect the persons in your workplace, I think that asking for a negative test after indications they were exposed or positive would be reasonable.
Okay, thank you, Dan. So next question that I've got here is, if an employee screening response results in a stay home result, will the employer be alerted in real time? So yes, it's real time updated, that dashboard, so that the employer can see immediately when Jillian actually completed her assessment. And maybe we should have hovered over that a little bit more, but you would have seen real time updates on the admin panel of the employer. So yes. The next question is, if an employee does not have access to the app, I assume they would have to fill in a paper form of the questionnaire. Once the employee receives the completed paper questionnaire, can it be uploaded to the app so that all the recording records are in the app, so the need to keep the paperwork part of the statistics? Yes. Now, the app is available on a phone, a tablet, or any computer. So if an employee doesn't have access to those things, that's something that could be looked at and worked out with you, the employer, to figure out how to best to accommodate that. It might be some other form that we give them, such as the paper, and maybe they can send it in some other way. Dan, can an employee opt out of reporting or having their name show up in the employee status list? So I can answer that. The employee can't opt. So if the employer decides that this is a standard practice that they want to implement, and then I'll let Dan handle the legal part of it, but first I'll talk to you. If they decide as an employer that they want this across all of their employees, they will all receive an ID and a password to be and a URL or an app on their phone to be able to access it. So Dan, once an employer makes it a mandate, though, as part of their policies and procedures, what would sort of be the recourse for the employer if the employee is opting out?
So the simple answer is that you probably can prevent the employee from coming into the workplace. We've implemented these screening measures as a necessary precaution to ensure that the workplace is safe for you and your coworkers and for visitors and customers. You have the right not to permit us to collect your personal health information, but as a consequence of that, we have the right not to permit you to enter our workplace. It's not really any different than if a customer shows up at a workplace and they say, well, you need to submit to this screening before you can enter the store. And the customer says, forget it, I'm not doing it. The store can say, well, you're not permitted to enter. It's similar again when an employee says, well, I've become disabled and I think I'm entitled to long-term disability benefits. And you say, well, please provide us with the medical information we need to assess your claim. If the employee says, I'm not giving you my medical information, you say, well, then we can't assess your claim and we don't have to give you the benefits. So yes, the employee can opt out, but that may make it possible for you to say, well, sorry, you can't come into the workplace until you decide that you're willing to submit to the screening.
Okay, thanks, Dan. Another one for you, Dan, is my understanding that as employer has a duty to accommodate their employees if they are able to resume their regular duties at work. I think somebody's in disability. They know this. Is this also true when employees are faced with health challenges when traveling to and from work? So let's say that public transport is a challenge and that they're concerned about contracting COVID during the pandemic in their traveling to work.
Right. So the short answer again is yes, you would have to accommodate the employee, but you're entitled to reasonable evidence that the employee actually does require that accommodation. And so there's a difference. In Ontario, for example, employees are allowed to take unpaid job-protected infectious disease emergency leave in certain circumstances. Employers in Ontario are not allowed to ask for medical certificates. But when an employee says, well, I can't come into work because I'm immunocompromised, I need accommodation, that's a different and separate issue. They're seeking for accommodation under human rights law. And so in that context, you are allowed to ask for medical information. So you can get medical information from the employee or require them to get their physician or other treating medical practitioner to provide you with the information so that you can assess, you know, can we or can we not accommodate this employee? The question had a second part, well, what if working from home is not an option? Well, if the employee can't safely report to work because of medical issues, the answer may be that you need to accommodate them by providing them with an unpaid leave of absence. This is no different than any other duty to accommodate to the point of undue hardship question or situation.
Okay, great. Another question. My understanding is the dashboard would list all cleared for access employees before they arrive to the building. In fact, it lists all the employees, those that haven't completed the assessment for the day, those that have been given a green, yellow, or red badge. It lists them all. Should we still record their temperature upon arrival? So that is an interesting question. In fact, we've decided we're going to have another webinar in our series that's going to actually talk about the benefits of temperature taking within the workplace, as well as testing within the workplace. These are two hot topics that we're getting a lot of interest in. So we're going to make sure that we get an expert on testing and temperature taking for you to be able to, as one of our guests. So we'll be able to answer that. But if you are taking the employee's temperature, is that a field that could be added to the dashboard? and how could that be recorded? So that's something that we'd be happy to work with you. Jillian mentioned that we were able to do some customizations on the dashboard. So that's something that we'd be very happy to take away and work with you on. All right. If an employer tells an employee to stay home because they refuse to complete the self-assessment, does the employer have to pay the employee for this period, or does the employee claim the government emergency infectious disease leave? I think that's for you, Dan.
Yeah, sure. Well, so the employee says, forget it, I'm not completing the self-assessment. The employer says, well, in that case, you can't come into work. I think in that circumstance, it's reasonable for you not to pay the employee. As Angela was saying, and I was saying earlier, in this context, in the pandemic context, I think it's very reasonable to introduce employee screening. In fact, I think you'd be foolish not to. And so having introduced a reasonable requirement with which the employee refuses to comply, I think it's reasonable to say, well, you can't come into work and we don't have to pay. It's, again, analogous to a situation where an employee is required to wear safety eye protection, hard hat at work at a construction site, and they're refusing to do so. You don't have to pay them when you send them home for not complying with a reasonable workplace rule and requirement.
Okay. Well, thank you, everyone, for your questions. There were actually several more that we couldn't get to. Thank you all for them. We'll be contacting you offline so that we can actually get to your questions. So thank you for that. And thank you for spending the 30 minutes with us. And we hope that it was of value to you and that you'll join us on the future ones. Have a great day, everybody.
All right. I want to thank our client, Medical Confidence, and Angela Johnson for allowing us to share that webinar with you here. If you have any questions about Medical Confidence, please check them out at medicalconfidence.com. If you have any questions about this podcast or Caravelle Law, you can visit us at caravellelaw.com. We'll be back soon with another episode of the podcast. And until then, we hope all of your business decisions are great ones.